Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
We trust and obey.
Reading from John chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Also reading verse 36, If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's pray that we will rightly hear these words and be doers of them, continuing in them. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks for all that has been given because of Christ, far more than we can think, far more than we can say. Even thy making all things work together for good to them that love thee and are called according to thy purpose. Help us to see that though we speak of called according to thy purpose last, that it is the reason for all the good that takes place, both for us and in us, that we can only work out that with fear and trembling, that thou dost work in us, both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And we pray that what is needed may be done because of and through Christ for each and every one of us, for all in our families, as well as ourselves, in our churches, in our nations, throughout the world. We pray it, Father, for every nation. Lord Jesus, you told the apostles that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, should be preached in thy name. And we pray that it may be done today. We pray that we might believe that word and continue in it until each one of us have believed. Help us to know the awfulness of not believing. And as Lord Jesus, you said, he that believeth not shall be damned. We pray that none hearing today may be damned and enter into that broad way of destruction. We pray in thy name, Lord Jesus, that we may not only have this word, but we may have thy Holy Spirit to open our hearts to receive the word, to lead us into all truth. And we pray that the church might be made one in the truth, that it will then not only know the truth, but make the truth known, to preach it, to teach it, to live it in every nation, that the church might again be a salt and a light in each nation. We pray, Father, for these blessings first. We also pray for the temporal blessings needed. We pray for those in sickness and injury that they might experience healing through thee, Lord Jesus, the great physician. We pray for those in hunger, those homeless, those persecuted, those in war-torn lands. We pray for those with special needs, the soldiers, the police. We pray for our schools and the workplace. Pray for our government, our leaders. We pray that thou wilt put thy fear in their hearts, that they might have the beginning of wisdom, and we as a people as well. We ask all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look at this once more, especially those words, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Before that we read, when he spake these words, many believed on him. But that really had no benefit. They did not continue. They were described in the last verse of this chapter as taking up stones to stone him. Before that, they argued with him. They described him in terrible ways. In verse 48, we read, "Say we not that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" The Lord Jesus had asked the question and say, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." All of that is in this same chapter. All of that is from these same people. Christ is the only one of whom it can be said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always doing what we read in the last part of verse 29. "For I do always those things that please him." Please his Father. His Father could say from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Christ could say sometime later, just before his death, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee." He could also say how he had glorified the Father. That's what he did in all things. Honored the Father, glorified him, pleased him. And what he was doing, he said, as we read in verse 28, "that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things." He was one with the Father. He would say that later, as we can read in the 10th chapter, "I and my Father are one." One God. Hard to understand, but we are called to believe it. We are called to believe the word. We are called here by Christ to continue in the word. That is not just continuing to do, as many people think, that we are right with God because of what we do. We think we are right with God because of our own works. Many people believe that. Some even teach that. But we are not right by doing. The Bible tells us plainly, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy, his grace, through Christ another. He saves us. And that is the message of Scripture. That is the gospel. And so, when we are to continue in the word, it is not just changing our ways. Repentance is changing our thinking. Changing our thinking. That is a great part of the repentance we need. That is a part of the repentance that these here needed. Further into this message, and this time the Lord Jesus is speaking to them, verse 38, we read, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." They said, "Abraham is our father." They had to change their thinking. They should have changed it long ago. These people probably all had the opportunity to hear John the Baptist somewhat earlier in time, at the beginning or just before the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what John the Baptist said. When the multitudes came to be baptized of him, he said, "O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." That would take a great deal of change of thinking. Again, I say not of doing, but thinking. Say not within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. That was their hope. And that continued here, maybe 2 years later, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when they answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They thought they were, but sadly, they weren't. The Lord Jesus had to use even stronger language. Later, verse 44, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. At that time, the Lord Jesus was there speaking. When he spoke, we read, as he spake these words, many believed on him. But they did not believe who they were. That is one very important issue. Who are you? Who were you when you were born? Were you different than these people? Are any of us different than that? These were the privileged people. These were the people that were given the oracles of God. Paul asked the question later as he writes to the church at Rome and says, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? And he answered it, much every way. To them were given the oracles of God. The oracles are the word of God. The words of Moses, the words of Samuel, the words of David, Isaiah, and the other prophets. All those words that were inspired by God to each one of them, they were not of private interpretation. They were moved by God to write what they did. Each one of them mentioned. These people had those words. Christ had said a little earlier in his ministry, if you believed Moses, you'd believe in me. For he wrote of me. John chapter 5, very plainly. But he says, you will not come to me to have life. And they said they were Moses' disciples, but had not believed that word and were not continuing in the word, even though they would say were Moses' disciples. They may have some beginning. They may have done some things, but again, did not think the right things. Think. Where are we? Who did Christ come to save? He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. Lost from God. When we come to realize it, it does perplex us. It does make us wonder, where are we? What's happening? Some draw the conclusion, especially it has been done of others, when they come into such a state. They say, well, it's a mental problem. It was described that way even back in the 1700s, in the time of the Great Awakening with Edwards. They thought then that most people were just children of God. First of all, they had it much more right with our pilgrim forefathers, and then they lost that awareness. The next generations, they had what they called the halfway covenant. Before that, they also were Abraham's seed and could baptize their children, could have that because of the so-called Abraham covenant. Circumcision for Abraham's seed then baptism for the seed now. Sadly, nowhere in Scripture does it say that baptism came in the place of circumcision. It does say that in baptismal forms, but not in the Scripture. As I said last week, we sometimes make the Word of God void by tradition and just say, this happened. That is it. That's the truth. We both think wrongly and we say wrongly. Those are two important things. Remember what John the Baptist told the people, say not within yourselves. You're saying the wrong thing. You're saying the wrong thing about yourself. We have Abram to our father. We're his children. It's true, they were his descendants in the bloodline as a nation, but not in faith. Not like Abraham believed in God. How did Abraham believe in God? He believed on him who justified the ungodly. Paul writes that to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 4. God justified, but who did he justify? Abram believed God justified the ungodly. Who was the ungodly? The one who was believing. He needed to be justified by God. He was ungodly. He was not like God. Nor you aren't either. I am not either. That's why Christ had to die. That's why we have to have what we read here. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Over and over, Christ would give from this time on until the time it took place that he would suffer, die, be crucified, be buried, rise again. That message is there throughout the Gospels. Not a lot of times, but it's there plain enough. The apostles certainly should have believed it. And we have much reason to believe it. As I said last week, many people do believe it. They believe it as a historic fact. It's true, there's some that don't. There are some that believe part of the story, believing that he died, but not believing the resurrection. And others believing it for a wrong reason, but I have to believe it, and I do believe it, that he had to die for me, the only way I can be right with God, is that he died for my sin. That was the one of the things I had to learn. That was one of the things I first said to my neighbors. Now I know that Christ died for my sin. If he didn't die, I have no hope. If his blood wasn't shed for me, there's no cleansing. It's all sin, 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 sin. No works of righteousness. They're not there. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good, and there were none. He couldn't see it in me, and he can't see it in you either, no matter what you think. And if you think there's something good, your thinking must be changed and come into submission to the Scripture. You must begin rightly with the Scripture and do what Christ said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These people were bound by their pride, by their lies. We have Abram to our father. We have one father, even God. But if they would have listened to the Lord Jesus, when he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. We today, more than our forefathers did, are doing the works of the devil, murdering the unborn, by the thousands, by the millions. It's a terrible, terrible thing. No matter what I say, how terrible it is, it's worse than that. People are going to wake up on the day of judgment and then find out how terrible it was. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. He hates it. He writes that by the writer of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6. Read it. These six things doth God hate, and one of them is hands that shed innocent blood. These people here would soon after this shed the innocent blood of Christ. But through the history, they had also at different times shed the innocent blood of their children. We read in the time of Jeremiah, the time after Josiah was king and did righteous ways and trembled at the word, rent his clothes, humbled himself. Even then, God says, but he could not pardon the sin of Judah because of the innocent blood that flowed. It had done that before, particularly the innocent blood in the time of Manasseh, the son of a good king Hezekiah, there sometime before Josiah. And that would stand before God in his sight. And he could not pardon them because of that. Do you think he'll pardon us? Cry out to the Lord. We are living, as I preached a few weeks ago from Paul's word to Timothy, in perilous times. We are lovers of our own selves, our nation so much it'll hardly recognize what others think. We all have to get our thinking closer to God, right with God. You are of your father, the devil. That's what's being done. That's what's breaking homes. That's what's bringing the terrible murder of the unborn. That's what's bringing the death in schools. That's what's bringing other troublesome things. Yes, we need to certainly do what God said to Isaiah. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sin. That's what Christ did. He said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. The works of your father, you will do. How awful. The lust of your father, you will do. The mind of Satan. Again, John the Baptist, say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Abraham can become our father if you are Christ. Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ and in Christ alone.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.